We are starting a new chapter today, book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read from verse 1.
Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment, yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, and both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God.
Now here St. Paul is talking to the church of Corinth, and he is telling the believers are trying to judge St. Paul. So he is trying to say, I am the stewards of the mystery of God. That means I am the manager. I am the one who can tell you what to do, what not to do, according to the word of God. And he says, it is a little thing for me that somebody can judge me. He says, I don't think that I have done anything wrong, or I am living a nice, clean and holy life, and I am pleasing God. And verse 4, he says, I know nothing by myself. I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. So he is trying to say what kind of life I'm living. God is the judge of all things. Means God knows my heart, and what I'm doing, God knows. I don't have to impress you. I don't have to brag about me. God is the one knows. Verse 5.
Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God.
Okay, now in this verse, when he says, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes. Now, the same Paul tells us that we are able to judge the whole world, not even the whole world, the angels. Just read the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 1 to 5.
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren.
Now here St. Paul is saying, we supposed to judge somebody who is doing something wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5, do not judge anyone until the time, until the Lord comes. And then he says, both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Now what is the difference between 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 to 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5? It's very simple but looks complicated. Jesus Christ said, if you want to judge somebody, judge yourself first. That means if you have log in your eyes, take the log out, then you will be able to see somebody has a small lint or something in their eyes. So what he's trying to say, he did not say, don't look at your brother's eyes and judge him. He says, take the log out first. Then you will be able to judge your brother. So this judgment means, if you see somebody doing something wrong, and you are sure you have seen, you are eyewitness, then you can judge that person. Judging means telling that person, sir, brother, you are doing wrong. This is not good. According to the word of God, you are breaking the law of God. And if you don't say it, and that person keep on doing it, you will be guilty not telling him. So now what he is saying in the 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5 is different than 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 to 5. This is like this. If I have a cigarette in my hand and I'm smoking and preaching the same time, you would say, oh, pastor, hold on. Why are you holding the cigarette and reading the Bible the same time? Right? You have a power and authority to say it according to the word of God. But just think, I'm standing here and thinking about cigarette and thinking about smoking. Do you know what I'm thinking? No. Just like I was thinking about the song, and my daughter says, what you thinking? But she didn't know what I was thinking. She could just guess what I'm thinking. Now if she starts judging me, you're thinking something I'm doing wrong. That will be the wrong judgment. You understand? So the Saint Paul is saying, you cannot judge somebody what you don't know. If the person is thinking something, something in his heart is hidden and you do not know, you cannot judge person looking at person. God knows your heart. Our God is greater than heart. We cannot judge people inwardly because we don't know their heart. So that's what he is trying to say. He is saying, you saw me or you saw Apollos and you're comparing me with him or him with me, and you are judging me outwardly. But God knows my heart, how I love you. God knows my heart, why I'm coming to you and why I'm preaching the word of God. Do I have love towards you or not? Only God knows. Other day I was talking to somebody and I told that person, you know what? You have to put God first. And you should be going to church every Sunday. He didn't like it. He starts saying, you're judging me. I said, sir, it's not judging. If you have the interview such and such a time, nobody has to tell you to get up and go for interview or go to work. You will set the alarm and you will go. Why cannot do the same thing to go to church? Oh, I don't like people judging me. I say, sir, this is not a judgment. This is the truth. So when we tell the truth, truth hurts. That's not a judgment. If somebody is doing wrong and you tell that person that is wrong, if you don't tell, then you are not the servant of God. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10.
Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
So what he's trying to say, if I start pleasing people and not pleasing God, I cannot call myself the servant of God. So the servant of God should be telling person, if that person doing wrong and you know 100% that person is doing wrong, then you should tell that person what you're doing is wrong. But if I hear somebody saying, you know, such and such a person was doing such and such a thing, and if I don't know anything about it, I cannot judge. Now you see, there is the man they found in Thailand. Now this man is saying anything comes to his mind. I did this, I did that, and all kinds of things, and he is confusing people. Now people cannot judge him what he says. How can they judge him? They can find DNA and then check it, and if it fits in that category that his DNA matches, then he's guilty. Not because he said something and you make a story on it. That's what the Saint Paul is saying. You cannot judge the hearts of the people. Leave it to the God. God will do it on the right time. Until Jesus comes, you do not judge somebody's heart. You can judge somebody's work, what he's doing, but you cannot judge somebody's heart, because heart is belong to God. Let's go back and read that verse one more time. That now it will make some sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5.
Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God.
Hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. Okay, verse 6.
And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received?
You cannot compare one man to another man. God has made us different. And God only knows about everyone. That means when God has made us according to his will, so I cannot compare with somebody. Somebody says, oh, that pastor preaches such and such a way. Why can you preach like him? There was a one man. He wanted to be like a Billy Graham. And he watched Billy Graham's preaching and got the movies and all the programs and watched how he preaches, how he takes the microphone or how he talks and how he does the action, and he started doing it. And his wife watched and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm practicing Billy Graham. She said, why don't you be yourself? And then he came to his senses. He said, why I have to act like a Billy Graham? Let me do it my own way. And now he became himself, and now he is a great man of God. So what I'm trying to say, God has made us everyone individual separately. We heard every single snowflake is different. Can you imagine? Billions and trillions of snowflakes, but each and everyone is different. That's why we call God God. God is the only one can make some different. We cannot copy somebody and try to copy and say, I want to be just like this person. And so he's saying, God is the only one does everything. Go to the St. John chapter 3, verse 27.
John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven.
The man can receive nothing except be given him from heaven. You cannot possess anything if God doesn't release to you. Everything what we have is given by God. The knowledge, the wisdom, the power, the strength, everything what we have is belong to God. Is nothing is ours. So we don't have to brag anything. God has given us everything. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8.
Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you.
Now, what he's trying to say to this church, you know what? You are full. He's not talking about full means dumb. He's saying you have everything. You have everything what you think you have. And now you are rich. Means you have money, you have fame, you have everything. And not only that, you are thinking yourself like I'm a king. I have everything. I have nothing lacking in my life. He says, well, if that's the way you want to feel, that's good, because we are king's kid. And we walk like king, we talk like king, we do like kings. That's good. So he said, but that we also might reign with you. Don't be carried away. You are a king's kid and I'm a king's kid. You are doing great and don't put somebody down. We are all king's kids and we are all the children of God. So if somebody is bragging something, you brag about Jesus. That's what we learned last week. Brag about God. Brag about what God has done. And he said a few minutes ago, we read, everything what we have is from God. So we cannot say, oh, I am this much smart because I have lots of money and I know how to make money and I know how to do business and I know how to do this and that. He said, who gave you all this? All of this given by God. And so we should be not bragging. And if you're bragging, brag together for the glory of God. Okay, verse 9.
For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men.
Now he says, we are apostles. We are called by God. Called for what? Called for just like a sheep going to slaughter. Means our life is always in danger. And God has called us for this purpose. And when we are like in the drama stadium or something, and everybody is looking at our acts, what we're doing. Do you know if you are a Christian and the heathen or unsaved person lives next to you? You know what that person will do? He might be living filthy life, but he will say, hey, today is Sunday. Why didn't you go to church? Why are you wearing this kind of clothes? Why are you doing this if you are a born-again child of God? They try to tell you, you should be living good life. They are watching you, how you live for Christ. So that's what he's saying. We are just like a people looking at us and judging us all the time. And the angel also looking at us. Who are those angels? Some of them fallen angels, they are looking at us. You remember that Job, angels were looking around. He said, where did you go? He said, I was going up and down. Did you look at my servant Job? He said, yes, I looked at him, but you put the hedge around him. So what I'm trying to say, the fallen angels, the unsaved people, and other people always looking at us and trying to trap us in their trap and trying to find out we are not a good Christians or we are not a children of God. And sometimes they will say, oh, if you are a pastor, why you do this? And if you are a born-again child of God, why you do this? They can do anything. But only children of God cannot say anything, cannot do anything. They are there to judge you. So he says, we are just like in a drama stage. People are looking at us. Okay, verse 10.
We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised.
Now he's saying, we means, he's talking to church or the whole world. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. If people think the crucifixion or the cross of Christ is foolishness, Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He gives you His Spirit, He gives His power, He gives His knowledge, His wisdom, His grace, His mercy, and everything what is belong to God is belong to us. Only it happens once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what the Word of God says. If somebody is nobody, but when he comes to Jesus, he is somebody. Here the Word of God is saying, you thinking that we are fools, but we are wise in Jesus Christ. You are thinking that we are weak, weakling, we have no strength. Somebody punches you and you don't punch him back. He doesn't have strength. He doesn't have power. One day we were walking on the street and there was a one man, he was a Methodist. And he came to our church and we baptized him. Now the Methodist church people start saying, why you became full gospel? And they wanted to beat him up. And we were walking in front of their church. We were three people. And here two people came and tried to argue with him, why did you leave the church? And he said, well, it's my freedom when I got saved and things like that. But those people started wrestling with him and tried to pin him down. And I was standing there, and those people were not strong like him. But these two people were wrestling with him. But I prayed, Lord, give him your supernatural strength so they will not pin him down. And so he was struggling, and I said to those people, do you know I can take care of both of you? When I was in the world, I was fighting with people, and I know how to punch you, but my hands are crucified. And this man standing with me, he could also do something. We are three, you are two. We can take care of you, but our hands are tied. Our hands are crucified. And we are living a life of Christ. He said, listen, if I want to beat you up, but let me tell you, I am weak, but I am strong in the Lord. I let you go. So that's what the Word of God is saying. We are weak, but we are strong. Strong in the Spirit. When somebody comes to you and try to harass you, and you do not have the physical strength to beat him up, use the Word of God. Use the power of God. I heard many a times somebody came to rob somebody and they say, Jesus, help me, and they ran away. Or somebody starts speaking in tongue and they ran away. Or somebody call upon God and they ran away. So what I'm trying to say, when we are weak, but we are strong in the Lord. Use the power of God. Use the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is called the sword of God. The Word of God has much power than the physical sword. You use the Word of God. How Jesus defeated the devil, do you know? He says, it is written. There is a power in the Word of God. Use the Word of God when the enemy comes to attack you. Spiritually, physically, or any other way. Just use the Word of God. We are not weak people. We are strong in the Lord. Because God is with us. We don't have to be afraid of anybody. What the Word of God says? God has not given us what? Spirit of fear. But He has given us power, love, and sound mind. So we are not weaklings. Okay, He said, you are honorable, but we are despised. Even if you could say, we are despised, but we are honorable. But God has honored us. So we are not ordinary people. We are the people of God. God has chosen us with a definite high calling. Our calling is very high. People do not understand what the Christianity is all about. Christian people should be superior spiritually than anybody else. But what Christian people are doing it, they are mixing with unbelievers and they want to blend with unbelievers. And so nobody can say you are Christian. You know why? Because they don't want somebody beating up their children in the school or saying something bad. Muslim country, they are living, they're giving Muslim name to children. When the Christian, they say, you're Christian, why your name is Muslim? The same way we know in India, they are doing the same. I believe that God is a good God and a great God. We should not be ashamed of Christianity or Christian names. Wherever you go, you should shine, because we are honorable people. People are making Christianity is a bad religion. Somebody says, I don't want to call myself Christian because Christian people are hated all over the world. Why? Because Christian life is a holy life, great life. People don't like that kind of life. But we should be proud that we are born again, children of God. Okay, verse 11.
Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer. Okay.
Now when the Paul saying something like this, people took a wrong meaning on this. Some people start thinking ministers should not have good clothes, ministers should not have good house, because he said we don't have house. The minister should not have money, because he said, oh, we are work, we don't have money. And he says, we are naked, we don't have clothes. And so, do you think St. Paul was walking naked everywhere? No. So he said, we are naked, but you have clothes. He's not saying we are naked. He's trying to say, just think this of winter time. Somebody will have a cheaper winter coat. Somebody will have winter coat like a $5,000 worth coat. So he is trying to say, comparing to others, we are not living in luxury. In India, some of the Christians, I'm talking about the ministers, they are trained like this. You don't wear good clothes. You don't wear shoes. You walk like a poor man. And so people took this and they said ministers should be working and supporting himself and should not take any offering or any pay or anything, work outside and then work for the Lord. And there are so many churches like that. The pastors work. I told you I met a pastor. He's a plumber. He's an electrician. He's a contractor. And he's a pastor. I start thinking how much time he has for the Lord. When you work for others, Jesus Christ says, do not what? Serve two masters. If you serve two masters, will love one and hate another. Jesus Christ called his disciples and what he says, forsake all and follow me. St. Paul, only for a short period of time, when he was talking to these Corinthians, short period of time, he worked with his hand to help others. Aquila and Priscilla, they were tent makers. And he knew some of this kind of job. So he helped them because they were new in the town. So he tried to help them to do their business. That doesn't mean St. Paul did that kind of business until he died. No, for the beginning, when he didn't have any, no believers at that time. But now he has believers, hundreds and thousands of believers all around. If you read about him, when you read the letter of Philemon, do you know what he says to that man? He said, if you have anything, put it in my account and I'll pay it to you. Where the money comes. And we read just when we were studying the book of Acts, the governor was thinking, Paul will give some money to us. That's why he was not judging him. So they knew Paul had the money. Paul could give the money, but he did not get money to working for some factory or some company. But he's trying to say, this is the kind of life we lived. And you have everything, and you people are puffed up. Okay, go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13.
Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my blessed, beloved sons, I warn you.
Now he is trying to say, people are thinking, we are the filth of the world. We are nobody, we have nothing, and we are just like a dirt or dust in this world. But he says, oh no, we are not like that. Because the word of God says, Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, he gave up all these heavenly kingdoms, he became poor for you and for me. And the word of God says, through his poverty, we can be rich. It's not only spiritually, physically, socially, everywhere. St. Paul says, I make you rich. How does he do it? Because St. Paul says, we have everything. We are not lacking anything. What we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God, supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That means he will supply your needs. If the Saint Paul is saying God is going to supply your needs, how can he say he will supply your needs and his needs are not met? My God is all sufficient. But you people are thinking we are nobody, we have nothing in this world, we came with an empty handed, we are going to empty handed. So you are treating us like a trash. Verse 14.
I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, I'm not putting you to shame because I want to warn you, you should not be doing these things to anybody. He's going to try to tell them, you did not understand the value of my work. What I'm doing for you. Let's read verse 15.
For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel.
Okay, now he comes to the point. He's trying to tell them how you became rich, how you became king, how you became so wise, how you became so powerful. Because of Jesus Christ. You were dying in the world without God and without Christ. I gave you birth in Jesus Christ. I am the one told you about the Word of God. And I am the one made you born again child of God. So that means he said you might have so many teachers and so many instructors, so many bosses, but I am the one is your spiritual father. I am the one who gave you birth. I am the one teaching you the word of God. So he is trying to say, you might have 10,000 teachers and professors and instructors, but I am the one who gave you birth. Now he is trying to say, why do not give me some respect as a spiritual father? Okay, verse 16.
Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church.
He says, therefore I beseech you, I beg you, be followers of mine. That means follow me, what I'm teaching you. And I'm going to send you Timothy. So he will come and tell you. Tell you what? Tell you more about Paul. He will tell, hey, I learned from Paul. Paul is my spiritual father. That's why Paul calls Timothy my son. He said, I learned everything from Paul and how I became minister because I'm sitting at the Paul's feet and learning everything. So whatever Paul says, I do. And so he says, I'm requesting you be followers of me. If you don't know how to follow me, the Timothy will tell you. And Timothy will tell you, I learned everything from Paul, and that's why I am here, what I am. And so he says, Timothy will tell you, and he will teach you everything, what I taught Timothy. Learn from Timothy. Okay, verse 18.
Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power.
He said, well, some people say, Paul did not visit us. He goes to the other churches and this church and that church and this house and that house. He didn't come to me. He didn't visit me. He said, okay, you are puffed up. But I will come, and what I want to see in you, I want to see the power of God. I'm not looking that you entertain me. I want to see the power of God in you. I want to know how much Christianity, how much spiritual life, how much holy life, how much Christian life you live. That's the kind of thing I would like to see in you. Let's read verse 20.
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
The kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. Action. People can say, I go to church, I read the Bible, I pray every day, I have 7 Bibles in my house. But if your life is not a Christian life, and you are not walking according to the Word of God, what you say doesn't mean anything. You put the Christianity or the teaching of Jesus Christ in practice. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. So it's not only saying things, doing it and showing what God is all about. Read the Romans chapter 14, verse 17.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
So the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking and having fun. That's why when somebody calls me for come to my house for a prayer meeting, and if I go for their prayer meeting and those people are not in the prayer meeting and they are cooking or preparing something, I do not like to stay in that house. I tell these people, if you're calling me, you have to be in the prayer meeting, not cooking for me. I did not come to eat. I came here to preach. And so, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking and having fun. When we gather together, then we just pray and praise God. Many people have prayer meeting and say, come to my house and come to my house, and people go and then they say, oh, such and such brother and such a sister cook this, cook that, bought this, bought that, I'm going to make it better. And then they have a competition. Oh, sister so-and-so give this much. But we went to the other sister's house, she cooked this, and this. Oh, okay, come to my house. I'm going to do better than both of them. And then they keep on doing like this, and the spiritual matter stays somewhere, and then somebody says, oh, other house, they get only tea and coffee. Here, we have this, and other house this. Oh, it's getting better. Now we have to have this kind of meeting all the time. What they're looking for? Food. Just think, we put it in the newspaper. Now, every Sunday, after the Sunday service, we will have 4-course meal. Free. Just come. You know what? People will be just looking. What time service finishes? 1:30. Okay. I'm going just right. 1:25. So I could have the food and I'll have everything. So that's what people are looking. The Word of God is, it's not like that. Peace, joy in the Holy Ghost and the power of God. I told the people, If you have a prayer meeting, no food, period. And when I go, you can have a party. I'm not in the party. I do not like to have parties. And so St. Paul is saying, for the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. We have to show forth the power of God to the world. Let the whole world know that we are called by God. Okay, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 4:21.
What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness?
Okay, now what he's trying to say, he said, I give you choice. If I come to you, shall I bring the rod to punish you if you're doing something wrong? Or shall I come with the spirit of love and the spirit of meekness? People will not like a rod. They say, come with peace, love, and the meekness. And if you really did wrong, you should say, thank God. That man has the courage to tell me. There are people, you go to church, and you smoke the cigarette in front of the man outside the church, that man will never tell you why you're doing this. He said, I don't want to lose that church member. I went to one church, and when I came out, I preached there. And I came out, and people are smoking, whole church members, they are smoking. And the smoke coming up. And I said to those people, you know what? If somebody goes on the street and they see, they will say church is on the fire. All this smoking coming up. I said, why you people didn't smoke in the church? They said, oh, we cannot smoke in the church. That's the temple of God. Uh-huh. What the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, you are the temple of God. And if you destroy the temple, I'll destroy you. And then one man called me. He said, come to my house. And he said to me, you know what? I wrote a song about smoking. Smoking is the ladder to go to heaven. I enjoy smoking. Feels like a heaven. But I heard today you preached against the smoking and you gave the word of God. And it touched me. I'm going to give up my smoking, come to my house. This man was not weakling. This man was a strong build. But that man gave up the smoking. And after that, he wrote another song. He says, smoking is the poisonous thing, like a snake. So what I'm trying to say, somebody has to tell somebody what they're doing is wrong. We read few seconds ago. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. If I'm trying to please man, I am not the servant of God. So we are not here to please people. We are here to please God. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. And as St. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Let us tell somebody, follow me, and we can lead them to Jesus Christ. We are here to please you. Lord Jesus, give us grace to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.